All right, everyone, welcome to week 9 of the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, making the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Big Cat Kramer. How's it going, Ryan?
Big Cat.
Yeah, nice. I thought I'd switch it up. Big Cat, how does that feel?
It's nice. Pay homage to Steve Jobs and his love for big cats.
I was thinking Andres Galarraga, former Colorado Rocky.
I remember, the big cat?
Yeah, the big cat. I remember I was actually living in Colorado when the Rockies came to town. He was the first Colorado Rocky ever to get a hit. I remember because this is back when, back in the olden days when, you know, school isn't as uptight. They brought in a TV and we got to watch the first ever Colorado Rockies game. It's pretty awesome.
It's exciting.
It's an exciting time to be in Colorado. Almost as exciting as the bet I placed on... The bet I placed on Stanford, because of your advice, Ryan, I took Stanford. I bought a point. It was at Stanford minus 7.5. I bought a point, got it down to Stanford minus 6.5 against USC. One of the craziest gambling moments of my life. Not a lot of money on it, but just the way that the bet panned out, that game in general, crazy game.
That was one of those games that rarely do you get back, like the positive backdoor. But, yeah, if you're sitting there with USC plus 8 or plus 7.5, you're sitting there ready to collect that money. That must have been devastating.
Yeah, I mean, at first it didn't seem like they were going to cover. Luck throws that pick 6 late in the game. And you're like, oh, God, they're not going to cover. And then you're getting angry because, okay, there's a chance they're going to win, but then they don't cover. And then you realize, oh, no, wait, they can get to overtime. But then you're thinking 6.5. And then I was going over in my head the overtime rules, and the overtime rules in college is, you know, you start at the 25, then you, but if you're the first team, see, this is where it gets confusing because you have to win by 7. So if you get the ball to start in the first overtime, then you're going to go and you're going to try and score a touchdown. But let's say you're the second team, well, maybe you just go for a field goal, and then the other team has a chance to go for the win. It was pretty crazy. So what happened was Stanford got the first touchdown. So they're up 7-0. So I'm covering right then. Then USC scores. So it's 7-7 in the overtime. But now it switches. So now Stanford gets the ball second. USC scores a touchdown. Stanford gets another touchdown. Send it to triple overtime. Stanford scores. And in triple overtime, you have to go for a two-point. They go for a two-point. They get it. They're up 8-0. Seems like... there's no way either team's going to stop each other defensively. They're just letting each other score at will. USC drives the ball down. They get pushed out right before the goal line. I think they're on the 3 or 4 yard line. Going in to score, to tie it up. And let's say there's a good chance they don't get the 2-point conversion. Well, then Stanford just wins by 2. The guy fumbles in the end zone. Stanford recovers. They win by 8. One of the craziest bets of all time.
Yeah, it really was. Like I said, if you had USC plus 7.5... there's no way you're thinking you're losing that bet. It sucks if you had that bet.
Right. I mean, literally the only way you could lose that bet is if they go to triple overtime, if Stanford has the ball first in triple overtime, if they get the 2-point conversion, and USC gets completely blanked on the other end. I mean, you're thinking, okay, even if they lose, they'll lose by 3, maybe they'll lose by 4, maybe they'll even lose by 6. But to lose by 8 in overtime is an accomplishment
in
and of itself.
You had 6.5. I had 7, which is even crazier. Like, I was just hoping for a push at that point. And the fact that I won was, I mean, that was one of the only bets I won this past weekend. But, you know, I'll take it.
Now, you were recently out in Vegas. Describe your weekend in Vegas, Ryan.
Just mobbed by all the fans in the Harris Sportsbook. A lot of autographs to sign. No, it was a pretty mellow weekend. Went out with some friends.
Yeah, you do any? I know you're really big into Halloween. Did you dress up? Did you go out as any characters?
No. I was wearing my handy Kevin Jones Virginia Tech jersey, looking like a heterosexual male. And let me tell you something. A lot of grown ass men dressing like fags out in Halloween. Full makeup. It was and I don't mean gay when I say fag. I mean fag. Like, unbelievable. Just the kind of thing where it's just like, oh, really?
What kind of outfits do you see in Vegas on Halloween?
A lot of dudes wearing dresses because they're not quite ready to come out. A lot of dudes with full makeup, like zombies and vampires. Yeah, I mean, and then you had the whole, like, the girls, like, the group of girls. It's, like, two attractive girls, but, like, the rest not so attractive, but they're all Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. And, yeah, they all don't need to be showing their midriff area. So, I don't know. It's one of those moments where you're just like, wow, people in Vegas. Oh, there was a whole bunch of dudes dressed like bullfighters. They were super gay.
Yeah, bullfighting is, for as manly as it is to kind of challenge a bull in the ring,
they
dress up super effeminate.
Yeah, it was actually pretty crazy. So on Saturday, you started seeing some people here and there dressing up. And so we went to a sports book to watch the UFC 137 or whatever, Nick Diaz versus BJ Penn, which, if you guys haven't seen it, one of the best UFC fights I've seen in a long time. Basically just a boxing match, movie-style boxing match where they just hit each other in the face for 3 rounds. So we're kind of isolated, and, you know, the fight ends. We hang out for a little bit longer. We get out of there at 10, and there are just people everywhere dressed up. And there were these – I don't know if you've ever been to the Venetian in Las Vegas, but the Club Tao is in the Venetian. It's kind of upstairs from where the poker room and sports book is. And normally there's a long line there, but the line there was – it must have been 500 girls all dressed like whores looking to get in, and it was pretty unbelievable. I think it was the first time I've been there for Halloween, and it's impressive how much these guys will make a fool of themselves just to, you know.
Yeah, I did a little bit of Halloween. I dressed up as Steve Jobs, which was really, I just wore khaki slacks and a long sleeve black shirt.
No makeup involved, right,
no.
Sean?
No, I didn't even wear glasses. While I was watching the USC-Stanford game, I found the back of an envelope I ripped off, wrote Jobs on it, taped it to my shirt. It wasn't even a black turtleneck. And then I just went to the Halloween party and told everyone the story of my epic, epic recent win in sports gambling. No one really cared, but I was really excited to tell everyone.
Wait, so you're telling me that at a Halloween party in Hollywood, people weren't caring about your 6.5-point backdoor?
No, they weren't. They had their eyes focused on a whole nother backdoor ride.
Shocking development.
You know what I mean? But I ended up blowing it, of course, on Sunday. I felt really good about Carolina -3, and it didn't happen. But Carolina was driving down to score, and it felt like they were going to get the touchdown. There was a holding call that ended up pulling them back, and then Olindo Mare missed a 31-yard field goal, a chance to send into overtime, and then at least either cover or, who knows, maybe you get a crazy touchdown to win in the NFL. But
that game was exactly why Carolina is a great dog to take, but not a great favorite, because their offense is just, or their defense is so bad. I mean, it seemingly looked like they were going to win by 2 touchdowns, but their defense just slowly let Minnesota back in the game, and it was
I mean, that's why Carolina's a fun team to bet on, and I've won with them a few times because Cam has a great ability to drive them down at the end of the game, put up points, which, yes, it's great for scoring garbage points, or even in this, they had a legit chance to cover 3.5 or 3, depending on what you got it at. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is obviously why this team isn't a great team, and they're still a pretty bad team, is their defense is that weak. But if you're a Panthers fan, you got to be pretty excited. I mean, they're doing well enough to show a lot of promise, but not good enough to screw up a chance of a great draft pick. So they're going to get probably top 5, at least top 10 draft pick. And if they start building the defense around Cam Newton, and you still probably have a couple good years out of Steve Smith, they could be something to reckon with.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's the first result. We'll talk about week 8 there. Minnesota beat Carolina 24-21, didn't cover the 3.5-point spread by the Carolina Panthers. Let's take a look at some of these other early games. We had the Indianapolis Colts getting 8.5 points in Tennessee. It got close. Felt like maybe Indy was going to cover for Peyton one time, but it didn't happen. Lost by 8.5.
I don't know how much of this game you watched, but wow. Considering that Tennessee was getting almost every call, they really let Indy sit around. And I think we're just learning that Tennessee, beginning of the year, Matt Hasselbeck playing well, all a facade. They stink. Indianapolis stinks more. And I think they've quit. I think they're a team that you can just – they've thrown in the towel. It's going to be hard to take them getting points unless they're getting like 17 points. They just seem like they've quit.
Yeah. And one team that we
we should mention real quick that so Chris Johnson.
Oh yeah, man.
He's looked awful. And Shannon Sharp, after reviewing a lot of the game tape, has decided it's not Chris Johnson's fault. It's the offensive line's fault that he stinks.
What I mean, that scene, I haven't reviewed the tape, but how does the other guy that they bring in, this no-name guy, seemingly get the same amount of carries and get more yards?
I think Ringer's averaging like 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I understand it's tough. They're stacking the box, but geez, let's not throw the linemen under the bus. Come on. Those are the guys in the trenches. Those are the guys, you know, when that pile comes, you don't want to know what's in the bottom of that pile. You don't want to know what's going on there. All right, well, actually, we have to jump to that game that there was a big pile on, the Monday night game. End of the game, Kansas City. Kansas City was getting 3.5 points. They ended up winning outright, 23-20. But the Chargers were driving down. They had a chance to score a touchdown. Of course, seemingly played a conservative. Time was running out. All they had to do was run a run play. They were on the right hash. They wanted to run a run play to the center, make the field goal that much easier, essentially let time expire and win 23-20. They go up there. Phillip Rivers goes, gets the ball hiked to him, fumbles the ball, and loses it. Ryan, take us through that game as a gambling perspective.
Well, let's say you had San Diego -3 and you had Kansas City under 21 points. And you had the two parlayed, you're sitting there like, all right, I'm golden. We're going to win. Phillip Rivers goes to snap the ball. First of all, they looked horrible all game. I mean, they were driving, only getting field goals. So it was one of those frustrating games. They probably should have been up by 2 touchdowns. It's a tie game. They get down there easily. They go to snap the ball. Phillip Rivers fumbles it, but then jumps on it. So at this point, I'm like, all right, they got the ball back. But somehow, you know, the refs take their sweet time figuring out who has the ball. And this defensive linebacker or lineman just rips the ball out, and Kansas City gets the ball. It was pretty crazy. And then once that happened, you kind of figured San Diego, I don't know. They don't seem like a good team. It's tough because every week you're like, okay, they're going to be better this week, and they're not. And there's been a lot of reports that Rivers is hurt. I guess that he was caught on film a bunch this past week, wincing when he was throwing the ball. So that's the speculation that he's injured. And their defense isn't what they used to be. Their offense, you know, losing Sproles seems to be a big deal for them. And I don't know. I think we might have overvalued that Jets win against them, because I don't think San Diego is very good. I think, you know, they're playing Green Bay this week, and you might just see that San Diego team get their ass kicked.
Well, I mean, as a fan's perspective, I love seeing Phillip Rivers and Norv Turner go at it. There's nothing better than watching a player get fired up, and they get into it with each other, and it's pretty enjoyable.
But Phillip Rivers doesn't use any bad words. It's just all emotion. That's what the Leslie, whatever her name is, the reporter for ESPN, reported that. Just to let us know that he doesn't curse, or he doesn't cuss.
Wouldn't that be almost crazier, like if a guy was yelling at you that intensely and he wasn't cursing? Gosh darn it, coach, why don't you, this hogwash of a game that you're calling over here, you're telling me to do these bull cocky things, and I think it's a bunch of malarkey. That would scare me more. I think that guy's a gosh darn psycho. All right, let's take a look at some of these early games. Huge upset here. The St. Louis Rams beating the New Orleans Saints outright, 31-21. St. Louis was getting 13.5 at home. They didn't need it. They won by 10 points outright. Ryan, do we learn anything from this game?
I think the big thing is that New Orleans, I think they were missing their left tackle or their right tackle, one of the two. And whoever replaced him got his ass kicked by Chris Long. I think the other thing is that this is why the NFL is great, because the worst team could beat the best team. And this is also a good lesson on why you never lay -1,000 odds to take a favorite. One of the guys who was in the area in the sports book was bragging about how he laid $20,000 to win $2,000 on the Saints.
I mean, that's crazy. Why would you ever do that in an NFL game, especially these mid-season games? It seems like something always random. Especially as a, maybe at home I would do that, but yeah, I think the Saints were on the road.
I think that's the big thing, is you never want to do that on the road. That's a big road favorite. We both liked that last week. I guess we were way off, but I think the big thing was they disrupted the timing. They hit Breeze, and I think what we're seeing about the Saints seem to be built a lot like the Colts used to be built, and that's, you know, they're a great team when they score points early and get up and let that defense get after the quarterback. But if they fall behind, they're not built to play from behind on both sides of the ball. And as you saw it, when they dropped into coverage, Breeze just, he couldn't find the open man. Not to mention that Steve Spagnuolo does have a history of being a pretty good game planner, and he outgamed.
Ryan, you got to get off Steve Spagnuolo. He's not a good coach anymore.
He outgame planned Peyton.
Yeah, I mean, you...
scoreboard, Sean.
Right, Peyton's up there with a huge wad of dip. But how do the announcers not mention that? First off, it was a huge story. Each week, there's a huge meaningless story, whether it's Handshake Gate, Peyton, Sean Payton getting injured. They have to do a sit-down interview with him about his injury. And he's up there in the booth now calling the plays, and he's got a huge wad of dip. It seems like every time they cut over to him, he's just about to make a run to the Spit Cup.
It's funny. They don't mention it in baseball either. But it's like, imagine if he was up there smoking a fat cigar. Like, that wouldn't fly. I don't know. It's this weird, like, gray area in sports. They don't want to ruin it for everyone else.
I mean, do they think people don't realize what's going on? It's
bubblegum, Sean.
It feels weird that no one mentions it.
It's sunflower seeds.
All right. Now this team almost had their bubble popped. The New York Giants almost losing outright to the Miami Dolphins at home. Giants squeaked out a win 20-17. This felt like the Giants just looking ahead to their matchup with New England.
Two things. They look.
I am not a fan of taking the Giants on a big spread. Eli is not good at covering a big spread when he's or laying a lot of points.
But this had nothing to do with Eli. Once they figured out they couldn't run the ball, Eli played well. Eli's the reason they won the game. Watch this week. They're going to be spreading them out three wide, throwing DJ Ware in the backfield. They'll be explosive. They're going to put up 30 this week.
Now, why do you think they have such a problem running the ball these days?
I think, you know, they've turned over some linemen in the past couple of years, and I think the linemen they lost were just better run blockers, and the ones they have now are better pass blockers. And I think that's as simple as that. Not to mention that Brandon Jacobs is breaking down and getting really slow. I think it's just really teams are basically saying, beat us through the air, and they're starting to.
What do you think about Brandon Jacobs' recent quotes about him becoming a possible cancer on the team? Do you see that being a distraction?
He's insane. It's like the one thing he learned from Tiki Barber, not to fumble and how to be a piece of shit. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Well, they asked him, they go, what do you have to say about this recent win? He's like, nothing positive. How do you not have any basic media training of going, oh, well, it was a great team win. I wish I could have contributed more.
Have you heard him speak? He has to spend so much... He has to spend so much time not stuttering that he probably doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
He goes, all I know is I'm going to go home.
I have a family at home.
And I'm getting a big fat ass, or no, he goes, a big fast ass car on Thursday.
Yeah, I don't know what does he think he's going to get a contract somewhere else? Like, he's out of his mind.
Giants, that's the thing in the NFL. You can't give running backs big contracts, well, especially big guaranteed money.
They gave him a decent-sized contract, and he's just pissed that he gave a pay cut. That's what he's really pissed about. He gave money back this year, so whatever.
Well, and he's living up to that fact that he should have given the money back. And Chris Johnson, you're going to get a wake-up call next year when either the Titans cut you or ask you to take a pay cut.
Yeah, they won't cut him.
There's probably too much guaranteed money.
He's got two or three years.
All right, we already hit that one. Okay, Baltimore, Arizona. This was another game where the huge underdog seemed like they had a shot to win outright, but of course Kevin Cobb blew it. Ravens won 30-27, but this Ravens team is seriously flawed. If you're a Ravens fan, you got to be worried. I mean, they won this game, so you got to be happy about that. But they barely beat the Cardinals. Before that, they lost to the Jags. Things are not looking good for the Ravens.
I think it might be time to start talking about bringing in Tyrod Taylor. Joe Flacco is not good. At least Tyrod can run around and, you know, create some plays with his legs. Joe Flacco, I mean, he's probably in the same category. He's slightly above Tebow.
Just run the option with Ray Rice?
No, yeah, bring in Tyrod, run a spread offense. I can't believe how bad Joe Flacco has regressed more than any quarterback in the last 2 years.
It's crazy. He seemed, I mean, Matt Ryan has regressed as well, but not to the degree that Joe Flacco has. What do you think happens? Everyone realized that when Joe Flacco was doing good and leading the Ravens in the playoffs, that a lot of it was based on their run game and their defense, but he still seemed to have the ability to hit throws and win games. How do you lose that ability?
I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is the play calling. I don't think Cam Cameron is calling. You know, I think he's probably trying to pass a little too much. They really should be running the ball 35 times a game. But I think part of it is Flacco just, he's scared to fail. I feel like Ray Lewis, like, threw him into a locker or something and said, you know, stop screwing up the game. And now he's just scared of Ray Lewis murdering him.
Okay, moving along. Houston at Jacksonville. Houston won 24-14, which for some people was a push at -10 with the Texans. But for us, it wasn't. We had Jacksonville getting 9.5 points. Houston had a chance almost to run the clock out, but they kind of got stopped. They didn't have quite enough.
Fourth and one, fourth and two, whatever it was. You're Houston. You got
they're
Aaron
up by
Foster.
Seven. You're at home. I think the move is just to run it down their throats, but whatever. Instead, they kick a field goal. They win by 10. They cover the spread. But I think in my mind, a one-yard play is a lot safer to me than a potential of a block kick field goal. What are your thoughts, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, you go for that, especially where they were. They weren't. I don't think they were that close. So, I don't know. That was just frustrating because Jacksonville really had the game covered the whole game. And they played a pretty tough game. I mean, considering Blaine Gabbert is awful, and I think he's setting the record for the lowest completion percentage in the history of the NFL at 45% right now. Considering he's horrible, they played a tough game. And that
now, how does Del Rio, he must have pictures of the owner's wife involved in something. Because how do you cut David Garrard? And they've played well outside of the quarterback and seemingly would have a chance, especially in this division with Peyton being out. How do you cut David Garrard? Maybe it was the
Jack
back
Del Rio
issue.
Has
we still
get,
haven't gotten an explanation for why they cut
he has to get
David
fired.
Garrard.
He has to get fired this year in the offseason.
All right, now this one was an easy game to pick. The Buffalo Bills at home in Buffalo. Well, that's how the NFL saw it. But, in fact, they were in Toronto in the Rogers Dome. And they took care of business against the Washington Redskins, beating them 23-0. First time Mike Shanahan has ever been shut out at any level in the NFL. Washington is a broken team. They don't have anything going for them. I looked at their odds to win the Super Bowl right now. They're 80-1. What are your thoughts coming away from this game, Ryan? Except that the Bills feel like they're for real. They put up against good teams, and they beat crappy teams handily.
Yeah, I was actually really glad the spread moved down to 4.5. So I was a little scared of Buffalo -6, but I snagged Buffalo -4.5. And, yeah, it was, you know, Buffalo's offense looked pretty good against a really solid defense, and their defense played well. I mean, John Beck stinks. They made a bad mistake taking out Sexy Rexy. I think he at least moved the ball with them and you know, I think going forward, it's going to be hard to take Washington as long as John Beck's the quarterback. He has that Joe Flacco, I'm scared to make a mistake look. Whereas, at least Rex Grossman, he made a lot of mistakes, but he wasn't scared of anything.
He at least made some big plays that would balance it up. Now, this guy, he made a lot of huge plays in this game. Unfortunately, it was for the opposing team, the Detroit Lions. Tim, don't take the Lord's name in vain, Tebow, got shellacked by leading his Denver Broncos to a 45-10 ass.
How did anyone bet on Tim Tebow in this game?
In our Las Vegas Hilton contest, it was Denver only getting a point and a half. They're only getting a point and a half against the Detroit Lions.
So Detroit was the number one pick, but people still picked Denver. It was unbelievable, and we even talked about it last week.
It seemed like there when you see a line that's that juicy, that correct.
Seems like a trap.
You're like, this has to be wrong. But this makes no sense.
We said it when it happened. When Tim Tebow led that comeback, we're like, this is the best thing to happen because now we're going to get to bet against Tim Tebow for two more weeks. Exactly. So I think he's going to get one more week of getting his ass kicked. Now, granted, the spread's a little bigger this week, but he's proven that. I think he can uncover any size spread.
And speaking of uncovering, it seems like we learned a little bit more about the AFC playoff picture with the Pittsburgh Steelers handily taking care of the New England Patriots 25-17. Pittsburgh just seemed to control this game. They covered the three-point spread, looked good at home. New England's defense can't seem to stop them, and it seems like we have a formula for how to beat Tom Brady. Play man-to-man and get pressure up the middle.
So we learned three things in this game. One, New England's defense is awful. They can't stop anyone. Ben Roethlisberger looked like Aaron Rodgers throwing against him. Number two, I think New England's offense clearly is flawed against a man coverage scheme. They, Pittsburgh doesn't have the best DBs in the world, but they shut down Wes Welker in that passing attack. And the third thing is somehow Troy Polamalu can get away with doing illegal stuff all the time. If that was James Harrison who dove and punched the ball out of the end zone, he would be getting fined or something right now. They would talk about how it's such a horrible play and how he's a cheater. But Troy Polamalu, they're talking about how it's such a heads-up play. And someone actually made the comment. They were talking about how it's such a heads-up play, and he was like, well, that's illegal. And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's Troy Polamalu. Great yeah. play.
Yeah, well, he does head and shoulders commercials, and
he's so soft-spoken.
He doesn't rape people.
Yeah, that's true.
That always helps. It was the rapist versus the deadbeat dad in this QB matchup. Did you know that Troy Polamalu actually did get fined? But he got fined for using a trainer's cell phone after that game a few weeks back when it seemed like he got a concussion to call his wife and tell her he was okay.
Who fined him? The team or the NFL?
I think he got fined by the league.
That's crazy.
I mean, if you're a Steelers fan, that's got to be tough to figure out, or tough to hear that guy you idolize who's a crazed maniac is also insanely pussy-whipped. Hey, don't worry. Don't worry, honey. I'm okay. Kisses. My brain's all right. Well, you would have had to have something wrong with your brain to think the Cleveland Browns were going to win in San Francisco. And, of course, that didn't happen, but they became dangerously close to covering the spread. San Francisco was in control of this game for the majority of the game, up 17-3 for the majority of the game, or a good chunk of it. Cleveland comes down, 17-10. All of a sudden, Cleveland's covering the 8.5-point spread, but San Francisco, like the against-the-spread beast they are, drove down and kicked a field goal, winning and covering 20-10.
I think San Francisco and Baltimore have a lot of parallels where When they keep Flacco in the cage, get him to manage the game, they're good, just like Alex Smith. And I just fear that one of these road games, Alex Smith's going to be forced to do too much and throw a bunch of interceptions, make mistakes. So the San Francisco team has looked really good. They can run the ball. They have a great defense. But it's going to be hard for me to take them as road favorites or big favorites at that against decent teams. Luckily, Cleveland's awful. But they still managed. They still almost managed to leave the back door open against a really, really bad Cleveland team. So, I think that will be something to look at going forward. I'm going to be a little scared to take them as big favorites on the road or at home.
All right. Now another. Well, actually, this is another team from Ohio, a surprise team this year. Cincinnati Bengals beating up the Seattle Seahawks, 34-12. This game was a lot closer than the spread seemed, but Cincinnati won outright and covered the three-point spread.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is really awesome. Seattle's home field didn't really help Seattle in this game. And I think at this point, I know Cam Newton's looked awesome, but I think the rookie of the year on the offensive side has got to be A.J. Green. He's gone from, rookie receivers usually don't do well, and he's already a top 10 receiver. He can't be covered with man coverage. He's just bigger and stronger and faster than everyone. Give it a couple years, and this guy's going to be like he's the next Calvin Johnson. He's a complete beast.
Well, this team, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're 5-2. They got a good. They have a good defense in place. They have a they have a good quarterback, good receiver combination, seemingly able to run the ball at times. What's stopping this Bengals team from making the playoffs?
The rookie quarterback. I mean, he's going to have to do more in a game. Have they played Baltimore or Pittsburgh yet?
I'll have to take a look here.
Because that will be the test. I feel like for them to really they haven't played Baltimore or Pittsburgh yet. So I can't wait to see how he does against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they've beaten Cleveland, Buffalo, Jacksonville, Indy, Seattle. So not a they haven't faced the toughest of competition. We'll see how things shake out here for the Bengals.
They have a nice stretch coming up, though. At Tennessee, Pittsburgh, at Baltimore. That'll really show us how good they are.
All right, let's see. Oh, the Sunday night matchup. How could we forget? The Philadelphia Eagles destroying the Dallas Cowboys 34-7. This was never a game. It was never a game. I was kind of worried. Oh, 3.5 points. Maybe it comes down to a field goal. Maybe the Eagles don't cover. Should have had faith. Andy Reid, after a bye week, the Eagles at home. The Eagles still needing to win. I think this crappy start was almost a blessing for the Eagles in that it humbled them a little bit, got rid of the whole dream team moniker, gave them some desperation, some urgency.
Okay, hold on. I'm getting dizzy over here. Look, 2 weeks ago you were pulling for Bill Cowher. Now, as you remember, I told you this was one of the locks of the week, I thought. I just thought, A, this was more of a bet against Dallas. I thought Dallas was getting too much hype after beating a bad Rams team. And as it turns out, look, they're good on defense. They're not that good on offense. When asked about the problems with the offense and the downfield passing, Tony Romo blamed his offensive line today. He said he's not getting enough time. And that's the craziest thing I've heard all day, because he's getting plenty of time. And a lot of times he's running into a sack. So from a fan of neither of these teams, it was pretty obvious to see. I mean, you don't want to see the Eagles get going, but I don't think the Eagles – they looked good, but I think it was more of a sign that Dallas looked bad. And, Philly did what Philly does, and they spread them out, and they made Dallas' defense look silly. But the other side of the ball, I mean, Philly's defense didn't really impress me any more than they had all year. It was more just a sign of, God, Tony Romo sucks. We really need to stop talking about him.
Yeah, but they did. You got to give it up for them. They shut out the Cowboys for most of the game. A busted play late was the only score that Cowboys got. So if you can shut out a division opponent, I think that says something for
your
defense.
This was a good result for betting, because now I think they're getting way too many points this week. So,
all right, well, let's get to the Week 9 line, see how things shake out. The Atlanta Falcons heading into Indy, laying 7 points. Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck sweepstakes, here we come. Colts just not looking good at all.
So I wrote that. So before the lines come out, I try to write them down to see where I think it's going to be. And this line, I wrote this line. I thought it was going to be between 7.5 and 8.5, mainly because I feel Indy has given up. And so when I saw this was at 7, I don't see where the motivation to bet on Atlanta at 7 is. This line has to be 7.5.
You mean bet on the Colts?
Sorry. I don't see where the motivation to bet on Indy is. You have to take the Falcons here.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to get any action on the Colts unless you're getting 2 scores. How do they expect me to take the Colts against a decent team in any situation unless you're giving me more than 7 points?
Well, yeah, even 7.5, 8, 8.5, you're feeling better because you could see them at home, maybe playing a tough game against a team that doesn't play great against the road. But Atlanta's been pretty solid. Their defense has gotten better. Their offense has looked better. They can run the ball, which Indy has a lot of trouble stopping the run, and I don't see any motive. I don't see any motive to bet on the Colts unless it's more than 7. So at 7, I love the Falcons.
All right, now we got a rematch here in the New Orleans. New Orleans Saints hosting the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Bucks getting 8 points. Bucks beat them straight up in Tampa when I think the Saints were laying 3 or 4. Now the Bucks are getting 8 points going into New Orleans. I like the Bucks. Haven't looked great all year. I'm not really that high on this team, but they seem to have the Saints figured out, or at least figured out enough to compete with them.
So for some reason, yeah, this line doesn't make too much sense to me because, A, the Saints were exposed last week, and I know it's a week-to-week game, but the Bucs play the Saints tight every year. I mean, if you look at the last 4 matchups, they played them tight. Josh Freeman seems to do well against this defense. And, getting more than a touchdown for a division rival where I think the Bucks have won 2 out of the last 3 matchups, even one in New Orleans, I'll take the Bucks here. I think the Bucks have a shot to win this game.
Right, possibly an upset special there. Now, will the Houston Texans be upset? It's unlikely because the Cleveland Browns are coming in. The Browns are getting 11 points. Texans seemingly still without Andre Johnson. Seems like he keeps being on the fence about playing. I haven't heard word that he's going to play or not yet. Cleveland Browns still haven't looked good. Supposedly Peyton Hillis is going to play. First it was strep throat, now it's a hamstring. He seems like he's holding out for a contract, even though he didn't play well in the time he has seen here. Any chance the Browns cover this 11-point spread? I think so. Like we've seen against San Francisco, they kept it close. I think 11 is a little too high for this Texans team.
I agree. They have a really good defense. And a pretty good, you know, they can, Colt McCoy can scramble and move the ball. The thing is that double digit dogs have just been covering. So it's, especially against a Houston team that seems to let teams stick around. I think Cleveland's better than Jacksonville, and the Texans only beat Jacksonville by 10. So, you know, like I said, I'll take the double digits here. I'll take the 11. Roll with the Browns.
All right, now the Buffalo Bills at home, laying only 1.5 to the New York football Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets.
No, it's just the Jets.
I like calling them the New York football Jets, right? Clarifies, in case people are confused.
Yeah.
Jets coming off a bye. Bills coming off a big win in the Rogers Dome. Man, I just love the Bills here. I don't see how the Jets hang in this game. I think the Bills are going to spread them out. I think it's a great matchup for the Bills. The Bills have played well at home. The Bills have beaten the Patriots at home. I think they're just a better team than this Jets team right now.
I'm not sure why this isn't. I thought this line was going to be 3 or 3.5 just because how the Bills have been playing. And I think if you're getting hope that the Jets have turned it around because they came back and beat the Chargers, I don't know if that's showing much, as the Chargers aren't a good team. Sanchez stinks. I don't think they're going to be able to score enough points to stick with the Bills here. I think although Rex Ryan can game plan and probably slow down the defense, you know, they have a really good running back and a really good passing attack. They have a top three offense in the league. So I'm going to roll with the Bills here. This line's crazy to me.
Another line I feel very strong about, the Kansas City Chiefs -4 at home against the Miami Dolphins. This Miami Dolphins team is toast. And as much as I'm not crazy about the Kansas City Chiefs, I like them at home, I like them at Arrowhead, and I like them at -4. I don't see any reason why the Kansas City Chiefs don't cover this game.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you. I probably would take the Chiefs here, but yeah, something feels wrong about this game. The Chiefs haven't looked great, but even though they've won their last couple of games, I think it's been a little bit smoke and mirrors. So I'll roll with the Chiefs, but I definitely don't feel good about it, and I might change my mind by game time.
Yeah, I don't feel – I'm not crazy about the Chiefs, but I feel good about the Chiefs -4 against the Dolphins.
I think the spread's good. I think the spread's right where it should be.
All right, now the San Francisco 49ers, that dreaded West Coast to East Coast – although seemingly a myth these days, where they go into Washington, play the Redskins. The Redskins are getting 3.5 points here. I love the 49ers. This Redskins team is kaput. You can feel it when they played the Bills. You could feel it the week before. Their bye week when they played the Eagles. There's nothing that gets me excited about this Washington Redskins team. Ryan, explain to me. Now, you're kind of on the fence here about the 49ers. Explain to me how the 49ers don't cover.
Just what we were talking about. I think that 3.5-point road favorite spread is tough because if they do, I mean, look, I can't really argue for the Redskins here, but that half point I think could come into play late if the Niners, who are facing a better defense in the Redskins, I think, than the Browns. And I just don't see the Redskins scoring a lot of points. I'll take the Niners here, but I think if this. The spread's perfect to make me think about it, but that's where it gets. Like, if this is -3, it's a no-brainer, and if it's -4, 4.5, I'm not taking it. But I'll roll with the Niners. But I think at some point their conservative style of offense and their inability to really stretch the field is going to bite them in the ass against the better team.
All right, Ryan, let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys against the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, Seattle. Getting 11.5 points. I like that, Seattle Seahawks. Getting 11.5 points against the Dallas Cowboys. But, man, I've gotten burned by the Seahawks, but I feel like 11.5 is good.
This is going to be the team that puts me in the grave this year. Tavares is starting. They looked a lot better when he was out there. I like their defense to bounce back a little bit. And, honestly, I just, you know, until the Cowboys prove me wrong, why are you – can you, we really
trust
them?
Especially their middle linebacker is going to be out, probably.
Their second-best defender is out. He is definitely out. They haven't looked good. Romo hasn't been able to get the ball to Bryant or Miles Austin. And If there's one thing that the Seahawks have kind of can kind of do is be jam physical receivers, and I think you're going to see Romo not getting enough time and potentially getting hit some more. So I think this could be one of those games where the Seahawks jump out to a lead and the Cowboys eventually win the game, but not by 14.
Right. I see the Cowboys winning, and I know the old adage of don't take a team unless you see them win. Winning outright, but that doesn't seem to be the case this year. Like you talked about, the double-digit underdogs are just paying out well.
I think they're winning at like 75%, or covering at 75%. So,
all right, now we got the Oakland Raiders at home against the Denver Broncos. Tim Tebow coming into town, getting 8 points. Is that enough? Well, I can't pick the Denver Broncos, regardless of whether they cover or not. I'll play devil's advocate. Here's how they see they cover. Carson Palmer doesn't know how to run the offense. Denver gets a big play on special teams. Eddie Royal does something. I don't know. They have a couple miraculous plays, maybe another pick six against Carson Palmer. Somehow keeps them close. But there's no way I can take Denver getting only 8 points.
Here's the thing. A, that crowd is going to be on Tebow. He might start crying. And I think
let's set some odds on Tim Tebow crying.
I mean, he's definitely good for two mistakes that lead to immediate touchdowns, whether they're pick sixes, fumbles, or fumble with good field position. I know McFadden might not play, but Michael Bush has been solid, so I don't think that would be a big deal. And look, Carson Palmer didn't look good, but he's a professional. He had 2 weeks in the playbook. I think they signed Hushmanzada, who's a guy who they're going to run in the slot, who Carson Palmer trusts.
At least he has some familiarity.
I just don't think Tim Tebow's any... I mean, they're talking about Tim Tebow like he's the worst quarterback in the history. I mean, Steve Young was offended that he had to watch Tim Tebow play quarterback. He was actually mad that they're starting Tim Tebow. So, I don't... Whatever. Brady Quinn's going to be starting next week, and this sweet gambling run's going to be over.
All right, the Tennessee Titans at home. 3-point favorites against the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to take the Bengals getting 3 points.
These teams aren't equal. I mean, they're saying these teams are equal. The Bengals have a better defense and a better offense. I think Benson's back, and I like the Bengals to roll here. They've really been the surprise team of this year. They've just been a solid team. They don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. I like the Bengals to win this game outright.
All right, now the battle of the bullshit teams are the Arizona Cardinals. Late game here, hosting the St. Louis Rams. Rams getting 3.5 points, heading into Arizona. Is that enough for this Rams team?
Is
A.J. Feely starting?
No, Bradford's been playing. Bradford's been practicing. He's going to be back. And Kevin Cobb is going to be out, it sounds like. So I don't see how you don't take the Rams. This Cardinals team hasn't been good, really. I mean, if you watched that game last week, it was a lot of special teams, a lot of fluky plays, fumbles. Fumbles are hard to really replicate. I think you're looking at a real fluky game last week, and now with their starting quarterback out, who wasn't even playing that well, against a defense that, a team, even though they only have one win, they're clearly trying. They're trying to win for their coach. Chris Long is slowly turning into a beast. So I'm going to take the Rams here plus 3.5. Again, I think they can win this game outright.
All right. Yeah, that should be kind of interesting, even though both teams suck. And you got to take the Rams just because they have the best person on the field, Steven Jackson.
That's true.
He's healthy. You can make an argument for Larry Fitzgerald, but that implies someone having to throw to him. All right. Now, let's keep on moving here. Your team, Ryan, the New York Giants, heading up to Foxborough where they're getting 8.5 points against the New England Patriots. Give me a reason why I should take the New York Giants.
So this is another spread. I wrote it down. I thought it was going to be 7, right on 7. Both teams are heavy betting teams in terms of their fan base. And when I saw it opened at 8.5 or 9, I thought that was a little too big. I think what we saw last week against Pittsburgh is the reason it's too big, that their defensive secondary can't really slow anyone down, and the Giants are slowly turning. I mean, Eli Manning, I think, is number 2 or number 3 in the league in passer rating. They're slowly turning into
He's got a 102 rating.
Slowly turning into a pass-first team, and he's finally comfortable with his slot receiver and Victor Cruz and his tight end and Ballard. And just he's been picking teams apart. Once, you know, once they're going away from this bullshit power running game, I think what you're going to see, I think a lot of people are projecting Bradshaw to not play. But if he doesn't play, I don't think it's going to be Jacobs that steps up. I think it's going to be DJ Ware. He's their third down back. He's going to be standing next to Eli in the shotgun, and you're going to see him catch a lot of screen passes and maybe run some of those old Derek Ward draw plays out of the shotgun. You know, I don't know if the Giants can beat the Patriots. The Patriots do pretty well at home and after a loss, but I definitely like them to keep it close. I think this could be a shootout. I think the over, I'm not sure what it is, but take the over. I can't imagine them setting it higher than 50, and I think this feels like a 35-31 or a 38-35 game.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure. I just have some hesitation about the Giants' ability to score in Foxborough. I'm not really super high on this Giants team right now. I could see the Patriots just kind of cutting loose. I think it'll come down to the Giants' D-line against the Patriots' O-line. Do they give Tom Brady just enough time to pick him apart enough to cover this 8.5 points? I'll take the Giants and hopefully jinx them.
Here's the key with the Patriots. Not only do they not have a good defensive backfield, but they don't have they don't get a pass rush. So I think when Eli has time, he's good quarterback. You know, he's not going to get flustered if he's got a pocket, and I don't see the Patriots getting to him. So I think you're going to see Mario Manningham and Victor Cruz have big days with or without Knicks, and I really think it's going to be a close game that, you know, the Patriots will probably end up winning, but I think it'll be a field goal.
All right, now the Green Bay Packers heading down to San Diego. Coming off the bye, the Green Bay Packers, where they're laying 5.5 points in San Diego. I'm going to roll with these Packers, man. Tough to go against the Packers right now. Sure, the Chargers getting 5.5 points at home. I see that argument. I hear you. Don't get me wrong. I see where you're coming at. But I got no faith in this Chargers team right now. And I got all the faith in the world in the Green Bay Packers, laying 5.5. Anything under a touchdown, I like Green Bay. I like them big.
Yeah, we're agreeing a lot, which is scary. But, yeah, the Packers, I know their defense is...
Well, we agreed a lot when we went 5-0 in our Hilton contest that one
true.
Week, too, right?
That's true. The Packers don't have a great defense, but the Chargers have shown that they can't score touchdowns even against bad defenses. So I think what you're going to see is the Chargers are going to get a lot of yards, move the ball up and down, but they're going to be matching touchdowns with field goals, and that's not a way to win. I think the Packers are going to come out. This is going to be a bit of a statement saying, hey, look at us. We're going to go undefeated. And, you know, I could see the Packers dropping 35 in like a 35-24 type game.
Okay, now the Sunday night matchup, the Pittsburgh Steelers laying 3 points at home. This is sure to be a battle, and the Steelers are looking for revenge after getting embarrassed by the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore opening day of the year. Seems like we've overrated the Steelers' demise. They're not quite the same team, but they seem to be getting a little bit of their swagger back, especially with their win against the Patriots. Anything under 3 I like here, and it's right at 3. I feel safe at 3. I feel like it's always tough betting these interdivision games, but I don't see – the Steelers are just going to be too motivated, and this Ravens team just looks too bad.
So, I'm betting against Joe Flacco here. He's looked
right.
Scared.
Yeah.
He hasn't looked good. That offense hasn't looked good in a couple weeks now. And, you know, Dick LeBeau came out with a great game plan against the Patriots, and I think he's going to do something similar against the Ravens. And, you know, if it comes down to a battle of the quarterbacks, I'll take Roethlisberger in this matchup every day.
Now the Monday night matchup, the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they going to move to 500? We'll see. The Chicago Bears coming into town. Big Monday night matchup where the Bears are getting 8 points. As much as I love the Eagles here, and I do. It's a couple matchup issues. Obviously, Forte. I think if they can contain Forte, they're going to win the game. And I think I like their chances against the Bears team, especially because Cutler does not respond well to pressure, and I think they're going to be able to pressure him. The Bears haven't beat a lot of quality teams, and I think the Eagles are going to be able to get pressure on them, and I think they're going to be able to exploit the Bears' secondary. That being said, I think 8 points is too high, so I'll have to go with Chicago here, although I like the Eagles. Basically, if I don't know, 4, maybe 6. Eight's a little too much here.
This line should be 6.5, in my opinion. 6.5. What I found, I mean, this is one of those games where the Eagles beat you with the big play. They don't have a ton of sustaining.
But I feel like that's how the Eagles used to beat you with the big play.
Okay,
if you're looking at the way they've done it this year, or especially in that Dallas win and these past couple wins they've had, it hasn't been with the big play. It's been with the more methodical drives.
They hit a fair amount of, you know, 20, 25-yard passes over the middle to Celek, over the middle to Macklin Avant. Here's the thing.
Also can't underestimate what LeSean McCoy has brought to the table.
No, he's had a good year, but look, the Bears make you beat him with a bunch of 5 to 10 yard routes, dumping it down underneath, and you know until Michael Vick proves this season that he can beat you for four quarters like that. I mean, look, he looked really good in the last game. That's one game, so I think they win the game. But I think Forte has a big game. I think Cutler hits a couple play action passes, but. This feels to me like a 24-21, 24-17 type game. So I want to take the team getting the points. I'll take the Bears.
All right, Ryan. That does it for our Week 9 coverage. Give me your lock of the week and your upset special.
Yeah, it's hard to not take the – I'm going to go with the Bills. Like I said, I thought this spread would be 3.5.
Wow. You're feeling that good about the Bills, too?
I thought this would be 3.5. This Bills team – hasn't been, you know, they haven't really, they played good teams. They've done well against good teams, and even the games they lost, they were close, they were in the game, it came down to the end of the game. So I'm going to take the Bills here. I think the Jets, a little bit of smoke and mirrors last week against the Chargers, and I just, you know, again, Sanchez on the road, that stadium gets rowdy. I'll go with the Bills, laying at 1.5.
Okay, now what you feeling for your upset special?
See, this is where it gets a little tougher. You know, obviously, I could take a smaller one. You know what? I'll take the Bengals. If you're feeling lucky, you take the Bucks money line. That's probably going to be a nice +270, +280. But I think the Bengals, I'm surprised this isn't a pick'em game or a Titans -1.5. Like, to me, I don't understand how the Bills are laying 1.5, but the Titans are laying 3.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me.
So I'm going to take the Bengals. It's probably plus like 135, 140, depending on where the money. I think the money's coming in heavy on the Bengals, so maybe it's even lower than that. Bengals +130, but that's, you know, that's a nice little win right there.
All right, since I'm feeling generous, I'll give you two locks of the week. 49ers on the road laying 3.5. And the Pittsburgh Steelers laying 3 points at home. Feel really strong about both teams. Am I upset special? It's a huge upset. In fact, it's the biggest spread of the week. But I like the Seattle Seahawks. This team just doesn't make sense, and neither does the Dallas Cowboys. You can tell they're frustrated. And I feel like the Seahawks, they get something on them. Tony Romo's rattled, throws a couple picks, and the Seattle Seahawks win in miraculous fashion.
Big special teams touchdown by Leon Washington at some point.
Yeah, they're going to need some help. But, I mean, you hit on the couple other upsets I like, so I thought I'd go big with the Seattle Seahawks. All right, man, any other thoughts going into Week 9?
This is a good teaser week. You know, not that I'm condoning it, but you can tease the Seahawks up to 17.5, tease the Bucks to 14, and tease the Browns to 17, and just take the two touchdowns.
Yeah, but
dogs.
one of those teams is going to get blown out, right?
It hasn't been happening. There haven't been a ton of blowouts.
Tease the Giants up to 14.5.
That's a lot of points for the Patriots to win by.
Tease the Eagles down to -2.
Just tease the Packers to win that game. Come on.
Yeah, seriously. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Make sure you check us out at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @GreenRoomShow. Make sure you guys check out winthetrophy.com. Enter STG in the referral code. It's a lot of fun. You log on there. You can actually, it's like a fantasy online gambling. It's totally free, totally legal. You can actually win money there. I won a little bit of money there. Not a lot, but you win enough. Basically, you get 1,000 credits each week. Whatever credits you bet, whatever credits you're up over 1,000 at the end of the week, go towards your real cash. A lot of fun, good times. Make sure you check that out. And you can, of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Ryan, where can people check you out?
People can check me out in your living room this Sunday. I'll be watching games over here.
All right. Before you finish that plug, explain to everyone the proper way to enjoy Sunday football. I've hung out with a lot of people, some better, some worse. What are you looking for in a guy you're going to hang out and watch games with? Describe how a guy should act when hanging out. Let's say you're just some weirdo dude and you haven't watched football ever before. You're going to a football Sunday for the first time. Describe how you should act on a football Sunday.
Well, the number one rule is don't act like a chick. Now, things a chick might do. Talk a lot during the game. Ask why you have three TVs set up. Ask.
Say make a touchdown.
Make a goal unit. Basically, if you don't know a lot of people, shut your fucking mouth. I don't want to hear about how many points your fantasy players are worth. Don't root against the team if I clearly have bet real money on it, and you're just in some stupid pick'em for no money.
That is annoying. My brother comes down for games, and he'll do that, and it's like, yo, Chuck, my brother's Chuck, we got $100 on this game alone or this half alone or whatever, and then one point in some pick'em where you might have a chance to win $100. Come on. Have a little decorum.
Yeah, that's amateur hour.
You don't actively root against someone else's team unless you're that other team's rival. Then that's okay.
Yeah, the big thing, too, is we used to get this a lot in our old house. People would walk in and they'd see our three TV setup and be like, oh, why do you guys have three TVs? Oh, so we can watch all the games on Sunday. Oh, you watch football all day? Oh, God. See, now, for those of you who don't live in Los Angeles, there's not many things that suck about Los Angeles outside the traffic, but one of them is just the giant population of, like, borderline homosexual dudes who just couldn't give two shits about football and think it's like, I think if you watch football, you're like this big jock who beat people up in high school.
Right.
It's awful.
Which makes me want to go back in time and beat them up in high school. I mean, even though I couldn't beat up anyone in high school, but I still watch football for Christ's sake.
I mean, it's like when you come in on Monday and they're like, oh, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, it was great. I watched football all day. And they're like, oh, what else did you do? I don't know. There's games all day. Oh.
It's literally 12 hours of games. I watch the pregame. I watch the postgame. I watch multiple halftime reports because we have different TVs. We have fantasy stat information going on the laptops.
Bets. Lots of second half bets, first half bets.
I chase money. I gamble money. I eat. Sunday is also great just in the idea of I don't say no to anything. Drinking, eating crappy food, whatever. I'm on board for the entire Sunday experience. I'm going to feel like crap Monday. If my teams did well, that's kind of my solace. If I don't, I feel crappy anyway, so I roll through Monday.
So, quick story about how awesome watching football is all day. We get to the sports book. We get to the sports book early, and I'm
this,
there.
When is this?
This past this weekend, weekend in Vegas. We're at the Harris Sportsbook. We're sitting down. It's me, a guy I work with who isn't that big into football. Another one of my friends who isn't that big into football either, and my girlfriend's uncle. And we get down there, we're like, all right, it's 9:30, games are about to start, let's get some drinks. And he goes, you guys start drinking this early? And I'm like, yeah, we start drinking. How else are you going to watch the game? She's like, you know what, you're right. Pops out his heartburn medicine. He's like, I knew this was going to happen, so I brought my heartburn medicine. And then proceeded to drink no less than 25 Jack and Gingers. In the first games. Like, I don't know. We went through all of our drink tickets. This guy's an animal. He drank me under the table, and it was a good time, though. We watched a guy lose $20,000 on the Saints and seemed to not care, and it worked out well. I lost a lot of money, but I had fun. Watched our buddy Bill watch a whole game of football, which he really doesn't like to do. His sister was way more into football than he was, but, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, everyone. So thanks again for tuning into the Sports Gambling Podcast. Ryan, are you going to give out any more plugs?
So my other plug will be that you might check me out at the rehab facility up at the Southern California Orthopedic Institute, rehabbing a torn labrum and torn rotator cuff. So
yeah, you're listed as questionable for Sunday.
I'm definitely going to be active watching games, but very doubtful when it comes to throwing the football around.
So unlike Hakeem Nicks, you'll be playing through the pin.
Yeah, of course. I'm not a pussy baseball player.
All right, everyone. I am Sean making the money green for
Ryan making the money Kramer.
You can't steal my nickname.
Oh, well, I'm doing it.
All right. Let it ride.